And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head. And his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot on the earth, and cried with a loud voice as when a lion roars. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants, the prophets. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again, and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel, and he said, and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it, and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues. Now, how many of you are glad to be here this morning?
Amen.
Are you glad to be here?
Amen.
I want to say again that I appreciate you being here with us. I appreciate Brother Leon opening the sacred desk to me that I could come here to the church. I have never been anywhere that I ever felt any freer in the spirit than here at Brother Leon's place.
Praise God.
There's always a freedom of the spirit for me to minister here. But I want to say again that I'm so glad that you're here, and I'm glad that I'm here. And I'm glad that I understand why I'm here, and I'm glad that I understand why you are here. You know, I don't know of anything, Brother Leon, that would be more heart-rending to me than to be at a place and not know why I was there. And if God so fixed it to where I could not understand, my heart would just be torn to pieces. Because I'm the type of person that I just can't do things unless I understand what I'm doing. A lot of people, you know, they're not like that. They can just do most anything as long as they feel that it will come out right, or as long as they feel like they've got things figured together pretty good, you know, to where it'll work out right. But I can't do that. I've got to know where I'm going. I've got to know what I'm doing. And I've got to know why that I'm doing. You know, I just can't help any inspiration in doing it. I'm just the type of person that I've got to understand. If I don't understand, then I just can't do it. That's all there is to it. You know, that's kind of bad in a way. It makes it hard down through life, because you notice every little thing, you see every little thing, and every little thing through life disturbs you. Every little thing. And it makes it so hard on you. But nevertheless, it's so wonderful to be in the Spirit of God and be like that, because every little thing in the Spirit of God is just perfect. See, if you're like this in the natural, you go through a lot of heartaches and a lot of sorrow, because you see every little thing, and every little thing in the natural is not perfect. It's not right. And many times you're hurt and pricked in your heart. But I'll tell you what, in the Spirit, it's wonderful to be like that, because when you are in the Spirit, everything is perfect in the Spirit. And you can scrutinize every little thing. You can watch every little thing. And every little thing will come out just right. So then, this morning, I'm glad that I understand why that I'm here. I'm glad that I know what the Lord is doing. And I can say that I do know what He's doing, not because I am good, not because I am special, not because I've done anything to merit it, but rather because God is good. Amen. And God has been merciful to me. And by God's faith and God's works, I have merited His favor, all by what He did. So I'm grateful to be here. I'm so thankful to God that I can be here this morning. And I want to share my enthusiasm with you, and I want to take my time and just minister to you a little bit. You know, I feel like one of the great problems of the church of today is that we don't get enough of the Word of God. And I love to see people shout. I say that so often, and I really do. I love to see people dance in the Spirit and shout and just have a good time in God. I love to hear them speak in tongues. I love to hear them prophesy. I love to see the gifts of the Spirit work because that's what it's all about. But I also like to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ so that we might know who we are and know what we are and know what we're doing, so that we might be ready at the coming of the Lord Jesus. If we do not understand, then we will not make it. And I say this very reverently. You say, well, Brother Pike, we don't have to understand. People say that I don't have to understand. All I have to do is believe. I'm sure that people that make those statements have some foundation for what they're saying. I'm sure that they believe what they're saying. And perhaps what they're talking about, it works like that. But I want you to know that it is a satanic lie when somebody tells you that you don't have to understand, that all you have to do is believe. My brother, the Bible said the wicked will not understand, but the righteous shall understand. If you are a righteous person, you're going to understand. And if you don't understand, then something is wrong with you. Somebody say, I love Jesus. All right, I didn't mean to get to preaching right off, but preachers, they just preach anyway. Night or day, they just preach. All right, so then, I'm glad to be here this morning. I'm thankful to God that I can be here with you. And that you can be here with me. And that we all together can be here with the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, now, I came to a meeting over in Olive Branch. Some of you are attending the meeting. We'll be there tonight if the Lord is willing and nothing happens. Now, and I came by the leadership of the Lord Jesus. I'm here by spiritual revelation. You know, Paul went up to visit with Peter by spiritual revelation. Well, I'm here by spiritual revelation this morning at Pope, Mississippi. And I am at Olive Branch by spiritual revelation. Show them there is something that is taking place. And this thing that is taking place has to do with the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, you that are not spiritual, you don't realize just how near the coming of the Lord Jesus is. The coming of the Lord is so close this morning. And being here at this church and being at Olive Branch has to do directly with the coming, the soon coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Brother Taylor read to you this morning from Revelation 10 about the angel that appeared, that set his foot on the land and on the sea, lifting his hand to heaven, swearing by him that liveth forever and ever, that time was to be no more. And we are entering into the season, beloved friend, where time is to be no more. We are beginning to enter into that season, and it's time that you begin to check up and make sure that you're ready to meet Christ. If you're not ready to meet God this morning, you need to do something special to get your hearts ready, because the coming of the Lord is at hand. We need to be ready, for in the hour that you think not, the Son of Man will come. Amen. Here we read in this chapter of the great appearing of this mighty angel that's referred to as the angel of Revelation 10. And we're told in this passage of Scripture that this angel has a special mission into the world. Now you say, Brother Pike, you say angel into the world. Why do you say angel into the world? An angel could not set one foot on the land and one foot on the sea unless he was in the world. Is that right? The land and the sea is not in heaven, but it's here in this world. He had his feet on this earth, one foot on the land, and one foot on the sea. So then he came into this world. Not only that, but he must have been a mighty big angel. But for an angel to stretch out one leg and put it over here on the land, and then stretch out another one and put it on the sea, I'll tell you what, his head would have to go up into the stars. Isn't it right? He'd have to be a mighty big angel. Hallelujah. You know, the Bible speaks of Cornelius that prayed so much that the Bible said that his prayers became a memorial before God. And they went right up out of the earth into heaven, into the very lofty presence of the Almighty God, because he gained so much, blessed so much, prayed so much, and did so many things for God. Isn't that right? So then we can pray, we can give, we can do something that will cause us to come up into the mind of God, that God will take notice to what we're doing down here in this world. Is that right? All right. So then it is so wonderful to know that we're living in the closing season of time. It's so wonderful to understand what the book of Revelation is trying to tell us. It's so wonderful to know that God is expressing something that has been removed from the veil, or something that has been taken out of the veil. Isn't that right? It's so wonderful to know that. The book of Revelation, that is something that is unveiled if you get in the mind of Christ Jesus. You know, there was somebody that spoke of this before John spoke of it. Isn't that right? That was a man by the name of Apostle Paul, that spoke of the revelation of Jesus Christ. Even before John spoke of it, here in this day we're still speaking of the revelation of Jesus Christ, because it is the revelation of Jesus Christ, and it is the same thing that John spoke of, the same thing that Paul spoke of, and the very same thing that God said that he would send to the Gentile church. You know, we need to get a hold of this. Paul spoke of this. And one thing we need to get a hold of, that we are not a natural Jew. We are not a natural Jew. Amen. We are a spiritual Jew. Amen. I know that people that's going through the land, they're trying to prove that we're some kind of a natural Israel. But brother, don't you know that that would bring us down to a lower place of living with God, to prove that we are some kind of a natural Israel? Amen. We're not a natural Israel. We are a spiritual Israel. And the Bible tells us that he that is a natural Jew is not even a Jew. Why are you trying to be something that is not? Why not be a spiritual Jew? You love Jesus? All right, so then if we are spiritual Jews, then we have a spiritual leader that was sent to us by the name of the Apostle Paul. Paul said that God worked mighty through Peter to the Jews, the natural Jews. But he also worked through me to the spiritual Jew, or to the Gentile church. Amen. Now, if Paul worked for God to reach the Gentile church, then Paul's message must be the message that we need. Is that right? We must lead this message, because he said, I am the apostle to the Gentile church. And we are the spiritual Jew, so then we need his message. What kind of message was it? It was the revelation of Jesus Christ. Search it out and see if that's what Paul preached. Why do we need a revelation, Brother Pike? Why did Paul preach that we should believe in God and pray that God would give us the spirit of revelation? Because we are a spiritual Jew. We must have a spiritual message, a spiritual mind, a spiritual understanding, because we are a spiritual Jew. There is a natural Jesus. There is a natural law for a natural Jewish people. Isn't that right? Amen. But there is a spiritual Christ with a spiritual law for a spiritual people. While the natural Jesus was rejected at Calvary, so was the natural members of that body. Amen. And as they killed their own head, as Jesus was crucified, so died the members of the body. And out of the presence they went. That is, out of the presence of God. Out of his presence they went. Cut off from God to wander through darkness. Why? So that I could come in. So that you could come in. What is this the Lord was saying to them? When they said, at this time will you restore the kingdom to Israel? He said, it's not given to you to know that.
And he said, my kingdom is not of this world. My servants would fight if my kingdom was of this world. Isn't that right? He spoke of another kingdom. He said, the kingdom of God don't come by observation. Neither shall they say, lo, here is the kingdom, or lo, there is the kingdom. But he said, the kingdom of God is within you. What is the kingdom of God? Oh, beloved brother and sister, it is a spiritual revelation. The kingdom of God is a spiritual revelation. God is a spirit. God is a spirit. If you're ever going to get the kingdom of God, you've got to get a spiritual revelation. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, I'm looking forward to going into the kingdom of God. But you need to change your outlook. You need to change your outlook. Because God doesn't want you to look forward to going into the kingdom of God, but rather look forward to receiving the kingdom of God as an inheritance from Christ. The Bible tells us that the kingdom of God is an inheritance. You inherit the kingdom of God. And these that do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. For the kingdom of God is within you. It is an inheritance. We need to inherit the kingdom of God. We've got to get the kingdom of God on the inside of us. God is a spirit. He works from within our heart, within our innermost being. Working from within, coming into the outer man to glorify this outer man and change the genetics of my body that I might be a glorified image in the outer man and all of my surroundings may become celestial. Is that right? That the earth may become celestial, that the stars may become celestial, that my body may become celestial. Why would God want to make it celestial? So that it can never perish. It can never decay. It can never rot away. Left the treasures in heaven where thieves don't break through and steal. Where moth doesn't corrupt. Wherever your treasure is, your heart will be also. If you want a real treasure from God, get a spiritual treasure. For the Bible said, he that soweth to the Spirit shall by the Spirit reap everlasting life. But he that soweth to the flesh shall by the flesh reap things that will rot and decay. Or that is corruption, that which is corruptible. If you sow to the flesh, you can get something out of the flesh. Spend your time building houses. Spend your time buying land. Spend your time getting money. But brother, sister, it's corruptible. It's going to decay. It's going to rust. It's going to pass away. Why not do something for God while you can do something for God? Let's do something for Jesus while we can do something. Got a little song that says, I think I'll testify just while I have a chance. I think I'll praise the Lord just while I have a chance. I think I'll do something for God just while I have a chance. Oh, I want to do something for God, don't you? Let me tell you this morning, if there's one person here this morning that doesn't want to do something for God, may God do something to your heart. May God rend the veil this morning and let you look down into the wonderful interior of God and see the greatness of the Almighty Christ. The angel came forward. He set one foot on the land and he set one foot on the sea. He lifted his hand up to heaven and swore by him that liveth forever and ever that time should be no more. And he said as he spoke this, he said, and in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, he said, the mystery of God should be finished. In the days of the voice of the seventh angel, the mysteries of God should be finished. What is he speaking about, the mysteries of God? Oh, brother, there's the mysteries of God. Paul said, I am a steward of the mysteries. I am a steward of the mysteries. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, the Bible speaks about that simple salvation. The simplicity of the gospel. Don't let any man beguile you because the gospel is so simple. I know that. When it comes to salvation, there's nothing to do but confess your sins, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. That's simple, isn't it? Don't let anybody tell you anything else because that's the way God said it should be. But my brother, once we come into the things of God, there is a vast universe, there is a spiritual world that we can move into and from adventure to adventure, from faith to faith, from glory to glory, from greatness to greatness. We can move on out into that great world of God and see those wonderful things that Jesus wants us to have. You understand what I'm saying? Look at the astronauts. We see the astronauts. Now there's people that's confined to the earth. They're grounded. Why, they wouldn't dare even get in an airplane, let alone in a spaceship. Isn't that right? You can't even get them an airplane, let alone a rocket. That's all right, people inhabit the earth also. The Bible said the meek shall inherit the earth. Isn't that right? Or inherit the earth. Now, but brother, there is some men that won't be satisfied with that. There is some men that have to see higher than that. You take an eagle, he wants to go higher than that. Isn't that right? A little sparrow is satisfied just to perch from limb to limb. You take a little mocking bird, he's satisfied to perch on a chimney somewhere or out here in a tree and just sing a song. That's his nature. That's the way he wants to do it.
Amen.
But you take that big eagle, why you couldn't no more get him to sit on a limb of a tree to sing a song? You haven't got time to do that. He's got a spiritual, he's got another mission that God has given him.
Amen.
That's to soar high into the heavens. That's to get up into the mountains, in the crevice of the rock, to search out and to look to see what he can find way up there in the mountains.
Amen.
Glory to God, the storm don't stop him. Nothing don't stop him. When that storm begins to blow, and when that thing begins to pound upon that eagle doesn't take the tuck head and drop like this and start down. But what he does, he throws his head back in the wind, spreads those mighty wings. Glory to God, and he spreads out. He's ready for the power of that wind to lift him up and to take him up into heaven. You know, this is one great thing that we ought to remember. The same waters that came down from heaven that destroyed mankind in the days of Noah was the same waters that picked that great ark up and took it to the mountaintop. Is that right? Did you know the same problems that you let defeat you, the same harassment that comes from Satan that causes you to go down, is the same harassment that I and brothers in Christ and sisters in Christ use to take us to the mountaintop? Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God, hallelujah. When the devil starts pounding on my wings, I just shut them back like that. When the winds, contrary winds of problems start blowing, I just lift up my head like that. And I say, I have looked to the hill from which my help cometh. Oh, hallelujah. I don't look down like that. I throw my wings back in the spirit and I sail away to be with God. Because I know that he is somewhere watching over me. All things work together for good to them that love the Lord and those that are the called according to his purpose in their life. So this great angel, King, stood on the land and on the sea. There he stood. The Bible said that his face was as the sun. You know what? That makes me to know that it had to be the Lord Jesus. When you look at John over there, look at the book of Revelation. See, when Jesus came up and stood in the midst of the candlesticks, didn't the Bible say it was as though the sun shined within his strength? Did you know, I don't know anybody in the Bible, all the way back from Moses, all the way over, where it speaks of him like that. And I know the Bible said that Moses put a veil over his face because the brightness of God was upon him. But brother, it said that this angel's face was as the sun. Oh, hallelujah. You know, the Bible said that wisdom maketh your face to shine. Isn't that right? The Bible said when they stoned Stephen to death, they could not withstand the wisdom by which he spake. Isn't that right? For they beheld his face as though it had been the face of an angel.
Yeah.
They saw that face and it was shining with glory.
Hallelujah.
That great angel lifted up his hands to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, saying, I swear to God by him that liveth forever and ever, the Bible said, that time shall be no more. Hallelujah. And in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, the mystery of God should be finished. There is a mystery that we should understand. There is the mystery of godliness. There is the mystery of iniquity. There is the mystery of the kingdom. There is the mystery of the things of God. And Paul said, I am a steward of the mysteries. I am made a steward of the mysteries. Are you a steward of the mysteries this morning? If you are the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you are the members of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you are spiritually anointed of God, then you are this morning that steward of the mysteries.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's like this little article that came out in the Harvester that we published this month concerning the vision that we had of the feathers. You know, it goes back to that great eagle again. Hallelujah. Back to those lovely feathers that we saw in the vision when we took those lovely feathers and put them together. And my, when they were put together, I thought this has to do with the rapture.
Amen.
I was way down in Florida, down in the Keys, in that area. And I've been fasting and seeking God and out in this little elaborated place called a church. Way back out there by myself, Betty had gone somewhere. The pastor wasn't there. Wasn't nobody there but me. And I began to talk with God, and I began to tell Jesus I love you. I said, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. And I could holler as loud as I wanted to because nobody could hear me. And I was just making love to God and praising God. And about that time, God spoke to me. I said, Lord, I know that I found the message of translation. I know that I've latched on that great spiritual thing, God. I found it. And there God felt in my heart that I had found that, that I understood that thing. I went off into a vision and I looked and I saw this thing concerning the beverage. I saw this. I'm sure that some of you read it in Harvest to Herald. But I saw it there. And now was it a place, a little place called Ensign, where I'd been when I was a boy. You know, the Bible said God lift up an ensign to the people. Isn't that right? There I was, just across the street from one of my little playmates. Across the street there, there had lived a young boy that was my playmate by the name of Stuart. I crossed over the street. I went into this house, and there sat a lady at a desk. And I looked, and there was a row of feathers over to the right of her desk. And they were cataloged so beautifully, just like Steph's. My, they were so lovely. And I looked at them, and I said, give me those feathers. And she looked back real puzzled-like. She couldn't do that. I said, give me those feathers. She said, I can't do that. She said, if I do, the brethren will be upset. I said, that's all right. Give them to me anyway. So she gave them to me anyway. My other catalog was so beautiful in there, you know. And she gave me them feathers, and I hurried across the street. I got down in a room all by myself. I thought I was by myself. When I got to putting those feathers together, I looked, and there was about 3 to 4 people around that were watching me put them together. So there was somebody else there with me. I kept putting those feathers together, and I got everything beautifully in place. And then I got excited like a little child. I said, oh my, I've made an eagle out of it. And there, great big eagle laying out before me with great big wingspans. It was so beautiful, so colorful. And I said, I've made an eagle. And these others looking on, they were excited too, you know. And I was about to put the finishing touch over him, the tip of the wing. And God spoke to my heart and I said, I know it could do it. And I was just having myself one more spiritual good time.
Yes.
I said, I know it to do it. And the Lord spoke to my heart and told me that it had to do with the rapture. That when the feathers was put together, that it had to do with the rapture.
Yes,
I came out of the vision and I said, Lord, what is this? I don't understand, God. What are you trying to tell me? And God said, you are at a place called Ensign. I will lift up an ensign unto the people, the prophet said. I will lift up an ensign to the people. I said, but God, what about those feathers? He said, those feathers have to do with quills and with pens, with writings. Said, they're beautifully cataloged, beautifully set in harmony there. Said, and the church is watching over it. The woman having to do with the church. And I said, but what about the boy's house that I went over to get the feathers? He said, Stuart, you are made a steward of the mysteries of God. And those feathers have to do with the mystery of God being completed. For in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, the Bible says the mystery of God should be finished. And when it's finished, the Bible teaches that then God will pick us up on the wings of an eagle and take us away to be with Him. So then, the angel stood upon the land, and the angel stood upon the sea. And he swore that time was running out. I stand here in the midst of these things this morning. I noticed these that Brother Leon had put down here. And it makes me think when I come here about Jesus in the midst of the candlestick. You know, the church age messengers was the candlestick. And by being in the midst of the church ages or in the midst of the candlestick, what was it Jesus called it? The revelation. He called it the revelation. Jesus said the revelation of Jesus Christ. What is that? That's in the midst of the candlesticks. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ that said that. The Bible said that which God had given unto him to show his servants these things which shortly must come to pass.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. So then, here we are this morning, gathered together. I thought about being over at Olive Branch. And the Bible said that the same Jesus that you saw go away shall so come again in like manner. Isn't that right? And there upon the Mount of Olives, as I spoke of last night, some of you heard it. There upon the great Mount of Olives, where the Garden of Gethsemane is, there he will come back. He will set his feet upon the Mount of Olives. that mountain about 300 feet elevated above the walls of Jerusalem. And there he will come, stand upon that mountain, and everybody within the walls of the city of Jerusalem can look and see him standing upon the Mount of Olives. There he will come back. God's going to do something for him. How many believe that God's going to do something for him? God's going to do something for him. See, Paul says concerning the Jews, has God cast away people? God forbid. But he said that they have been blinded in part until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. That's what we're talking about this morning, is the fullness of the Gentiles. Are you ready for the fullness of the Gentiles this morning? You know, when God spoke about the fullness of the cup of the Egyptians, that meant that God was going to pour out his wrath when that came to pass. Isn't that right? Abraham by speed shall sojourn in bondage 400 years, and then I will raise up a deliverer, and I will bring them out with a mighty arm, he said. I will bring them out of Egypt. I will lead them. And God did just as after that. And the day that the iniquity of the Egyptians was filled up, then God poured out his wrath from heaven. And those great things that God told Moses would happen began to come down upon Egypt. Things began to happen. The thunderbolt was hurled out of heaven. The lightning ran across the ground. Everything was burned up. The locusts covered the earth. Everything began to just go topsy-turvy. The waters turned into blood. My people were plagued with great plagues. There was great blisters that came out upon them. All kind of things was taking place because God's word had come to pass. God's day had come because the day of iniquity was at hand. The day of the judgments of God was at hand. And the filling up of the cup of the iniquity of the Egyptians was now finished. And God said, Abraham, though you'll be gone on, son, though you'll be resting in your lot, yet there will come a time when I shall visit thy seed, Abraham. And with a mighty hand of deliverance, I will bring them out of the land of Egypt.
Amen.
Can you say amen?
Amen?
This angel, we see his face as it was the sun. We see the rainbow about his head.
Amen.
The angel of the covenant showing us again it was Christ.
Yes.
Something was taking place. Something was transpiring. Some mighty event was at hand. And the Bible said that John went over and took the little book. When he took the little book, it was said to him, eat the little book, and it shall be bitter to thy belly, but it shall be sweet as honey in thy mouth. Take the little book, eat it all. You know, the secret of it is to eat all of the book. Isn't that right? When you get all of the book, you got all of him. For he said, lo, I come in the volume of the book as it's written of me, O God, to do thy will. So then when we get all of the book, we got all of him. And that's what we're trying to do. Come into the unity of the faith. Come into the full measure of the full stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus, to be therefore perfect, even as our Father in heaven is perfect. Oh, friend, let's get away from this thing. I'm just trying to hold on a little bit. Let's get away from this thing of just trying to do our little bit for God. Let's get away from this thing of saying, I've already done my part, and let's just dive in with everything we've got wholeheartedly in God and be perfect in the sight of God and do the will of God with all of our heart, life, soul, mind, body, and spirit. That's what God wants. Alright, so then, eat the book, John. I want you to eat all of the book. Take every bit of the book, and it'll be bitter to the belly. You know why it's bitter to the belly? Because God said when he cursed that serpent, he said, upon thy belly shall thou go, and dust shall thou eat all the days of thy life.
Yeah.
Isn't that right? Yeah. Upon thy belly shall thou go. Yeah. You know, people go upon their bellies. Now listen, they go upon their bellies. You say, Brother Pine, do you really believe that man is on his belly? God put him on his belly because man is that generation of vipers. The Bible calls him a generation of vipers. Isn't that right? It calls him the serpent. Oh, that generation of vipers who have warned you to flee from the wrath of God to come, the preacher says. He's on his belly because he is that serpent. Look at him. All he ever wants to do is have knowledge. Have knowledge. Go to school. Get a good education. Get in college. Get more education. Study to learn more. Always studying. Always looking. Always searching. Why? Because it's that serpent that's crawling on his belly. God put him on his belly. You say, Brother Pipe, what makes you think he's on his belly? The Bible said all of your labor is for your belly because your belly craves it of you. Everything you're learning is so that you can feed your belly. Everything you're learning is so that you can get more to make your belly comfortable. Now, I don't mean to get beside myself, but I said this before, I want to say it again. A man will work to get food into his belly. Isn't that right? He'll work to get a house so he can put that belly in out of the rain. And then he'll get him a nice bed so he can lay that belly down so that belly can rest. And so that belly can sleep a little, as we say, to get up the next day so it can be fed some more. And man gets in a wilderness wandering around and around, and all of his labor is for his belly. Now somebody would say, I don't believe that all of his labor is for his belly, Brother Pike. He builds a house for his belly. Come on now. You know that? That old gut's called up down there. Oh, that don't sound good. Paul said, rude in speech, but not in knowledge. To get my point over, that old gut's curled up down there like a great big serpent with his mouth open. And it should holler if he'd have dropped something in there all the time. All of your labor's for your belly. Now, when Paul said all, or the writer said all of your labor's for your belly, then he didn't mean part of it, he meant all of it. Isn't that right? Everything that you do is for your belly. Right. You buy your nice car, why don't you get your nice car so you can ride your belly around? What do you want to do with it? Ride it down to the ice cream shop so the belly can get ice cream. Come on now. On Sunday we get out of church, what do we do? Hurry over to the cafe. What are we going over there for? So our belly can get a bite. Hallelujah. He said it shall be bitter to thy belly. Because this is the thing, son, that's going to do away with that old belly worship. This is the thing that's going to do away with all of the pagan parties. This is the thing that's going to do away with all those things that Israel tried to use to get into the kingdom of God. Somebody said, let's go worship God. How are we going to do it? Let's go kill the lamb so we can feed our bellies. Come on now. Everywhere that they went to worship God, they'd start killing oxen, start killing lambs. God said, away with the feast. Hallelujah. I don't want any more of that. He said, I am a spirit. And I'm seeking such to worship me in spirit and in truth. Oh, glory to God. God wants you to feed that belly. He'll take care of that belly. God made it so it could be fed. God will give you the good things of life, children. But God wants you to be spiritual. You follow me? God wants you to be spiritual. If you've got a home dedicated to God, if you've got a car dedicated to God, if you've got land dedicated to God, or somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, everything that I've got belongs to God. I said this last night, I believe it was, the other night, Friday night. They say, everything I've got, Brother Pike, belongs to God. Oh, my house belongs to God. My land belongs to God. My car belongs to God. The money that I've got in the bank belongs to God. But I want you to know that that's not true. Everything you've got in the bank belongs to you. And it's put there to serve your belly. We've got better altars, for the Bible said these brute beasts serve their bellies. All they lay up for is to feed that belly. They want to make sure that that belly don't go hungry. Those little children over yonder that's starving to death, that's bad. They'll cry a tear about it. They'll do like Esau. They'll weep a little bit. But they won't take nothing away from that belly to help them out. Come on. Is that right? What is it? They say it's mine, my land, but it belongs to God. Oh, everything of God belongs to God. But brother, lest you give it to the preacher, and beware of the preacher that you give it to then. Lest you give it to the preacher, lest you give it to the ministry, then it don't belong to God. As long as it's in the bank, it belongs to you, no matter what you say about it. Oh, I'm going to say this, it's going to hurt. But I tell you, the craziest thing I ever heard in my life is somebody that says that they're a Christian or a child of God, and that they are laying up money in the bank. Come on now. I said when a man or a woman tells me that they are a child of God and they're laying up money in the bank and saving money in the bank, I can't get those things to come out right. I can't get that to come out right because that's not right, my brother and sister. The Bible said, as it is written, he that gathered much had nothing over to put in the bank. And he that gathered little had no lack. That is, the missionary on the field got your abundance. For the Bible said that your abundance may supply the lack of that mission. Is that right? That little hungry fellow over yonder, how can you put a dollar in the bank and save a dollar when that child is literally starving to death? Somebody was saving Brother Pike that has nothing to do with me, but it does have to do with you. You say, but that couldn't be, Brother Pike. So, glory to God, you see the church struggled, taking every dime, every penny. The pastor has to get out and work, scream. And you say, glory to God, we got a real pastor. I'll tell you, you might have a real pastor. A man that's willing to work and make a living is a real pastor. I agree to that. But I want you to know that he hadn't got a real saint of God with him. Somebody say amen. Because if you love God, you'll see that that pastor's taken care of without having to do that. God called him to preach.
Amen.
Come on. And the Bible said that they give themselves continually unto this very thing. Therefore render unto all of their needs. Tribute unto whom tribute is due. Honor to whom honor is due. And let me say praise unto whom praise is due.
Amen.
Somebody would say, well, praise is due unto God. Paul said, I praise you in a good thing. Come on. When a minister does a good thing, give him a little praise. When a child of God does a little something that's good, give him a little praise. You'll encourage him. You'll lift him up. In so doing, Paul said, they glorify God within me. For it's not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth within me. And the life I now live, I live by the Son of God, by the faith of the Son of God. Not I living, bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. You love Jesus? My high world did I get on tithes? No. The Bible said, bring all your tithes and offerings in the storehouse. I ain't been talking with Brother Leon, and you know it. Praise God. How in the world did that happen? I'll tell you one thing. God's been talking with Brother Leon. God's been talking with you. God's been looking down over here. God sees the churches. God knows what you're doing. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. Now, I think y'all have been kidding Leon here. Looks like you do. I sure hope you do. Boy, after this sermon, you better. Amen. When you come into the knowledge of God, you're accountable. Hallelujah. So then God today wants to do something for you, Christian friend. Oh, if you'll take that you've got laid back and you say, Lord, that's God's. I'm going to give it to God. I'm going to give it to God. Then you're doing all right. I remember a little town I was in one time. A man got a hold of some funds of God. He wasn't a preacher. He got a hold of the church, got a hold of the funds, and put the funds in the bank. And he kept saying, I'm going to wait till somebody comes through here that I can give this to. I'm going to wait until somebody comes through here that's worthy of this. But see, he didn't know that God would tell on him.
Amen.
What God was telling me was that he kept it in his bank account so if you run a little bit short, he could keep his business going. Did it hurt him? It certainly did hurt him. It cost him the life of some of his children. More than one. It cost him a broken home. Cost him everything that he had. God raised him up, giving him great things in this world. But God took it away from him. You hold back a dollar on God, it's like Ananias and Sapphira. Isn't that right? They held back a part of the price. When you don't share with God your life in prayer and fasting, when you don't share with God your life in helping that brother or sister that needs your help out yonder, when you don't share with God, when you don't have time to come to the house of God, and you don't have time to share your substance, brother, there's something wrong with you. That will come a reaping day. I've said this a lot of times. Some folks say, well, Brother Pike, we're living in a terrible age, and I'm laying up a little something for a rainy day. I said, well, praise God, God will sure see that you get a rainy day.
Amen.
You say, I'm laying a little something back in case I get sick and have to go to the hospital. Well, I want you to know that God's faithful. He'll see that you get sick and go to the hospital. Because if you save it for the doctor, he'll see that the doctor gets it.
Amen.
But he said, if you serve him, he'll make all of your beds in the time of his sickness.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible said God brought them out of Egypt. There wasn't one sick among them. Their faith didn't swell. God met all of their needs according to his riches and glory. You say, but Brother Pike, today he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he done that under the law, how much more would he do it here in the days of grace? You love Jesus? Just give me a few more minutes. I ain't going to hold you. Just one more minute. Now, don't you want to go to heaven?
Amen.
I want to go to heaven. It's not as far as you think it is.
Amen.
Somebody said, well, it's a long trip. I better get well prepared. It's not as far as you think it is.
Amen.
Some fellow come up to Jesus and he thought it was a long, long trip.
Amen.
And he was trying to get prepared. He said, good master, such and so and so and so and so. Jesus said, thou art not far from the kingdom of God.
Amen.
My, it was just a little ways.
Hallelujah.
Did you know them people that went out into the wilderness had to wander 40 years? Did you know that according to the Bible, all they had to do was step across into Canaan? They come out right here. They come out right here. All they had to do was go over here into Canaan.
Amen.
But because they didn't have faith in God, because they didn't have their hearts prepared, they had to go way down here, wander through the wilderness, come back up here, and then go across into Canaan. Folks, it ain't far to this place I'm talking about.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It ain't far. Jesus made a short cut to heaven.
Amen.
I will do a quick wire cut and short and righteous.
Amen.
He made a short cut to heaven.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And there, you're not far from the kingdom of God when you look at him.
Amen.
You're not far from the kingdom of God. All this great, wonderful thing called the kingdom of God, the revelation of Jesus Christ. I wish we had time to preach it this morning. Hallelujah. But this great, wonderful thing that's called the kingdom of God. Don't you want to get into the kingdom? Let me say this right, hurriedly. The Bible said that they stood there when Jesus said unto them, he said, they shall come from the east and they shall come from the west. And they shall sit down in the place of the children of the kingdom. And the children of the kingdom shall be cast into the outer darkness. And there shall be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth.
Amen.
And did you know it happened? Those Jews belonged to the kingdom of David.
Yes.
They were called the children of the kingdom.
Amen.
And they stood there as God cut them out and turned his back on them.
Yep.
And did you know that the others came from the east and they came from the west. And they were translated into the kingdom of God. For the Bible said God had translated us into his marvelous kingdom.
Amen.
And they had to stand back because they were not spiritual. And watch the Gentiles be translated by faith.
Hallelujah.
Into the wonderful kingdom of God.
Amen.
The day at the wailing walls there's weeping. There's wailing. And when they passed through the dark age there was gnashing of teeth. From 606 to 1520. Back in the days of Boniface, and in the time of Bloody Mary, there was weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And oh, beloved friend, as those Jews went through that thing, so does God promise in the end time that if we miss the kingdom of God, we shall see them come from the west and the east. We shall see them come from the north and the south. And we shall see them go into the kingdom of God, and you and I will be left out of the kingdom of God.
Amen.
If we don't have faith in God and follow his ordinance.
Amen.
And the Bible teaches that we'll be turned into a lake of fire, and there will be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And so, Brother Pike, hell's not eternal. I know that. I realize that hell is not eternal. I don't preach that hell is eternal. The Bible teaches that hell's not eternal. But there's one thing about it. There is an eternal flame that the Bible speaks of that is never quenched.
Amen.
And the Bible said the worm dieth not, the fire is never quenched.
Amen.
The eternal flame of the burning wrath of the Almighty God.
Yes.
Hell is not eternal. I know that. Hell, the Bible said, shall deliver up the dead that's in it. And hell and death shall be cast into the lake of fire.
Amen.
And that'll be the end of hell. But I want you to know when it comes to that lake of fire, it's a different picture. All amen. When it comes to that lake of fire, that's a different thing altogether. So we need to have faith in God. We need to believe in God. We need to learn to trust God with our bodies. Ask God to heal our bodies. Ask God to re-energize us with the great Spirit of God. Rejuvenate us. You know, a piece of rubber gets to where it's flabby or hard or whatever, just put a little rejuvenation in it. And it's ready to go again. Amen? It's ready to go again. Hallelujah. You might have got a little bit hard and callous. The Bible said, harden not your hearts in the days of the provocation. But even though you're a little hard in spirit, yet if you'll give God a chance, He'll pour in a little rejuvenizer.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit will rejuvenate you. You'll become activated with the glory of God, with the presence of God, and you'll be illuminated by His great loving presence so that your countenance will shine. Hallelujah. You love Jesus?
Amen.
I tell you what, in this kind of atmosphere, you just preach on and on and on and on. Hallelujah. Good atmosphere. Praise God. But I'm going to stop right here. I love you. I praise you. I just love to wade around in some deep water this morning to hear the mysteries of God because the Spirit's good for it. Well, I know Brother Leon's teaching those things. I'm going to stop you on a little exhortation. And I want you to stand together with me. Hallelujah. I appreciate you for your kind patience, and I know I've taken a long time, and I didn't mean to take so long. I just want to talk with you. Hallelujah. You love Jesus? Can you lift your hands up and love Him? Let's just love Him. Hallelujah. Praise God. Father, come and play us something on the piano here just for a minute. Let's just worship God just for a few minutes. And I'll turn the service back to our brother. Hallelujah. Let's just love Him this morning. Praise God. The last time I was here, I prayed for the sick and prayed for you. And the Spirit of God is just so rich and so wonderful. It has responded so beautifully. Praise God. This morning, just going to talk to you a little bit. Let's just lift our hands up and love Jesus. Hallelujah. Father. Oh, Heavenly Father. Lord, I am the and we feel the Holy Ghost this morning, Jesus. The mighty moving of your great Spirit. I ask in the name of Jesus, Father. Oh, dear Holy Father, that you will rejuvenate the hearts of these people. Father, that you'll reactivate the lives of these people. Father, that your Spirit will come down. Oh, Lord, in the hearts and in the lives and the minds, the quickening. Father, to translate them in the marvelous kingdom of God. May the Spirit of the Lord be here this morning. I'm asking you, God, to let every heart melt in the Christ this morning. Hallelujah. Yea, the torch of liberty is lifted up unto thee, for I have given thee liberty as the children of God, that thou mightest be free from the bondage of the things of this world. If thou canst believe, God shall visit thee, yea, in the wee hours of the night. God shall visit thee, God shall quicken thee, God shall raise thee up. Yea, the torch of liberty is lifted high and burning brightly in this hour. If thou canst believe, God will bring thee out of the wilderness of thy intellectual reasoning and take thee into the land of Canaan this morning. Hallelujah. Can you love Jesus? Can you praise Jesus this morning that Brother Leon comes? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just love Him for a few minutes.